WGLT begins a new series about life-work balance. Life's Work today is about the restaurant industry, a business in which balance is like being on a tightrope. And a call comes in Central Illinois for retired attorneys and judges to help those who need it pro bono. Those stories just ahead on WGLT's Sound Ideas. Good afternoon, I'm Charlie Schlenker. The chief medical officer at Karl Bromann says doctors get really frustrated at blind rejection of the coronavirus vaccine.
You come to me for all your other health information needs and treatment, but for this, you somehow would rather believe something you read on social media.
And COVID patients in Bloomington Normal are getting younger and sicker. And the Brothers Grimm infuse an event in Bloomington with darkness as well as light. Those stories and a Bloomington Normal News update just ahead. This is WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas, on 89.1 FM and WGLT.org. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. A hospital administrator in McLean County says higher COVID vaccination rates and more vaccine requirements have helped reduce coronavirus caseloads. WGLT's Eric Stock talks with Karl Bromann Chief Medical Officer Jim Nevin, who says that's encouraging.
A week ago, 2 weeks ago, our numbers of COVID patients were up again, similar to where we were back in November. Thankfully, they've slowly started to decrease. That I think is consistent with the positivity rate that we're experiencing in Illinois. So that's a good thing.
Even though hospitalizations are typically lagging indicators?
Exactly.
So I guess that's even more encouraging that one might expect the numbers will continue to trend in that direction in terms of hospitalizations?
I think so. And also, I think it's a reflection of the increased vaccination rate that we're seeing in the community. You know, we have been slow in McLean County compared to some of the rest of the state. Our numbers of vaccination is have been less than they are in Chicago. You go to Woodford County and Eureka, their numbers are lower than ours here. And with more people getting vaccinated every day, we're seeing less people being admitted to the hospital with COVID, directly as a reflection of them being vaccinated. Almost all of our patients in the hospital right now are unvaccinated if they have the COVID disease.
What is causing more people to get vaccinated later in the process? Many of them waited months when they could have had it in the spring.
I think there's a number of things. I think the mandates have helped, especially in businesses that have said, you need to be vaccinated if you want to work here. So I think that message is very strong. I think that the EUA being lifted for Pfizer has again been reaffirming. The chatter from social media has been the biggest hurdle for us to address. And we're having to do that sometimes, one team member at a time, addressing their concerns and all the misinformation that they're looking at. Okay? I have one doc that had 21 patients in a day and 11 of them were unvaccinated. And he just pounded his head against the wall saying, you come to me for all your other health information needs and treatments, but for this, you somehow would rather believe something you read on social media than what I can tell you as a physician, as your advocate for health. So, they are frustrated with that.
How has the mandate impacted the staff at Karl Bromann?
Well, we're up over probably 85% now vaccinated, so I'm very positive. We do have members that have elected not to be vaccinated for many different reasons, and they are complying with the testing that is mandated for those that are unvaccinated.
Going back to hospitalizations, for a while when the numbers were higher, we had heard that COVID patients we were seeing in McLean County were increasingly sicker and also younger than they had been before. Is that still the case?
Yeah, we are definitely have seen younger patients and younger patients that are dying. When it first started, as the majority of the patients that were very sick and dying were over the age of 65, and a lot of those were in nursing home, had a lot of clusters. Now, probably 40% of our cases are individuals, less than 50 years of age. We've had some young people that have died that shouldn't have died.
Carl Broman, Chief Medical Officer Jim Nevin, spoke with Eric Stock. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The Illinois Judges Association wants more retired judges and attorneys to take on pro bono cases on behalf of low-income residents. Michael Brandt served as a 10th Circuit judge in Peoria and Tazewell counties for more than 20 years. He was chief judge from 2011 to 2013. Hannah Alani speaks with Brandt, who describes the importance of pro bono work and why civil pro bono cases are just as important as criminal cases.
Most folks that are accused of a crime are eligible for a public defender, and there are public defender offices in the counties and in the appellate courts and things. There's not a similar comprehensive network in civil cases. We have legal aid, which there are very few legal aid lawyers. When you talk about the entire state of Illinois, probably 500 lawyers statewide. The caseload there is enormous.
Civil law is so interesting. It covers so much ground and it affects so many different parts of people's lives. What are some of the biggest types of civil litigation that you feel people really need help with?
It's across the board, you know, in terms of hierarchy or whatnot. Evictions are one of them. Family law issues are another, including simple dissolution of marriage. There are guardianship issues, both adult guardianships, child guardianships, where grandparents are taking custody of children for various reasons and don't have the resources. We have lawyers doing federal bankruptcy pro bono issues, home repairs gone awry, expungements and sealing to get folks' records cleared up that have led a law-abiding life and have some impediments for employment, like old criminal records.
How is your effort going at this point right now?
Well, let's just say that the Central Illinois legal community is very supportive of the pro bono effort. It's important to note, especially for retired attorneys and judges that have inactive licenses, you can do this pro bono work without having an active law license as long as you're had one at one point in time. If you're in a retired status, you don't need professional liability insurance. There's times where I've utilized the local legal aid's office for interviews. So, you know, there's no real general overhead involved. So, you know, the door is open for that. We that do them feel that that's part of our professional responsibility.
Why do you feel there's a particular need for pro bono attorneys in Central Illinois?
The need has always been there and it's still there because it, you know, to help folks navigate through the legal system helps the legal system. Things run smoother. Judges are happier. Clients are more informed. They're explained to them that our court system is not like TV court. We need to do things in a calm, reasonable fashion rather than some type of emotional confrontational. It's there, the emotion, sometimes, but it can be tempered with good legal advice, good judicial temperament.
That's Michael Brandt, a retired Peoria judge who's encouraging other retired attorneys and judges to take on more pro bono cases.
It's really neat when I can see the people who work at the radio station. It's just a really neat way to feel really connected with our community. And I'm not sure if people will get that in other communities. I grew up in the Chicagoland area. I knew who all the NPR news people were, but I wouldn't see them walking down the street. So I think that is really special that we have here in Bloomington Normal.
I'm WGLT financial contributor Sharon Chung from Bloomington. It's the Fall Fund Drive. Keep WGLT community powered with a gift at WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. What is an artgasm? Well, it's an event at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts that celebrates creativity and local art and artists while also raising funds for the Bloomington Creativity Center. In this edition of Datebook, Ariel Jones talks with BCPA Development Director Kara Spence about the event that takes place next Saturday, October 16th, and about this year's theme.
It's called Artgasm Grim Fantasy. Mm-hmm. And that theme is all about the fairy tales that we grew up with, but not the Disney version. This time we are going with Brothers Grimm.
The Brothers Grimm really have a way with the dark and the light and the good and the bad in their stories. And I bet everyone involved with putting this together will have a lot of fun showcasing both sides. Tell me more about the reason for Artgasm.
The point of Artgasm is to celebrate creativity and to showcase our local artists, all while raising funds for the Bloomington Creativity Center.
What is the Bloomington Creativity Center?
So it's a community center geared to the arts. We will focus on art therapy, arts opportunities for everyone, especially people who usually face barriers to participating in those types of events. Our goal is to continue to provide arts opportunities for everyone, on top of just providing space for artists to grow their business, to grow their passion. For those that might be a little afraid to take an art class, that it's a place that's approachable and accessible for everyone. And I should say too that this is something that's been trying to be done for 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
So we have had a long journey. There's been people who have spearheaded this. So it's all about their vision. This is just adding an element to that. The event is to celebrate creativity and celebrate what we are all about here at the Creativity Center. And it's just so much fun.
You are listening to Datebook on WGLT. I'm Ariel Jones, speaking with Kara Spence of the BCPA about the Artgasm fundraising event on Saturday, October 16th at the Bloomington Center for Performing Arts. With the theme being the Brothers Grimm fairy tales, what should people expect?
So when you walk into the ballroom or the lobby, you'll be met by Rumpel, and Rumpelstiltskin will be talking to you about entering into the Grimm world. And you need to go through a lightning storm.
Wow. So entering Artgasm, you're going to be greeted by Rumpelstiltskin. And then you have the chance to meet other characters like Little Red Riding Hood and Hansel and Gretel, who will also be walking around. Plus, if you go to Artgasm and come to the event, you are also invited to dress up as well. And there's more involving a group called Grimms.
Grimms, G-R-I-M-M-Z, is a traveling troupe from New York. They are coming to do their own show, and it just aligns perfectly with Artgasms. And they take the Grimms fairy tales and reframe them through rap, hip hop, and dance.
Grimms is going to pair so well with this night. Now, I remember with the first Artgasm in 2019 that the theme also allowed for the food to have a theme as well. What is planned for this year?
In the Hansel and Gretel Witch's Cottage, we have our witch there, and she is providing our guests with a feast. No children in the feast, don't worry about that. But the feast is catered by Rob Dobbs, and they are preparing a beautiful spread of Oktoberfest-themed food. And we also have Keg Grove providing the beer. So it's Oktoberfest. You could come as a Grimm's character, or, you know, wear your dirndl from the time you went to Germany or whatever. So just dress up. Have some fun.
That was Kara Spence of the Bloomington Center of the Performing Arts speaking with Ariel Jones. Grimm Fantasy returns to the BCPA on Saturday, October 16th, with dinner and an art auction from 5:30 to 7:30, and then a performance from Grimms from 8 to 9 p.m.
This is Sound Ideas on WGLT. I'm Eric Stock with Madeline Jean Charles for the Fall Fund Drive. We need more listeners to step up and help push this fund drive to our $75,000 goal. Contribute whatever you can at WGLT.org.
Local news matters. We're betting you agree since you're listening to Sound Ideas right now. The WGLT newsroom makes choices every day about what we cover and what we don't. Oftentimes, the newsroom makes these decisions based on our resources. Do we have enough reporters to cover the event, rally, community meeting, or school board?
Financial contributions make those decisions easier by helping to fund our growing team of reporters, part-time correspondents, and student journalists. journalist. Together, those contributions allow WGLT to deliver you all the news you need to make decisions for yourself, your family, and your community.
Show us local news matters to you. Support community-focused and community-powered media with a contribution now at WGLT.org.
And you should know that when we say local news, we mean super local. The WGLT newsroom is on the campus of Illinois State University. Our team lives here, and we're invested in this community. We shop at the same stores. We eat at the same restaurants. This community investment is reflected in the news we cover and the stories we tell.
We are able to remain local focused and independent in our news coverage because of people like you who contribute. Your financial support during the Fall Fund Drive tells us you care about having your favorite NPR programs on air, a local newsroom, and shows like Sound Ideas. Donate now to fund it all at WGLT.org.
On our website, you can renew your annual support, make an additional gift, or make that fabulous first donation. Support your community-powered public media at WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. It's never been easy to run a restaurant. The industry has always operated on razor-thin profit margins and asks a lot of workers. Long shifts, unpredictable pay, and the expectation to uphold the adage that the customer is always right. As it has for so many things, COVID has led the restaurant industry to re-examine the way it does business. In this first episode of WGLT's new series, Life's Work, the owners of Forchizzi Cafe and Normal say it's been grueling to operate during the pandemic, and some things are going to have to change. Abby Strader-Bosenberg and Nick Berkey opened Forchizzi Cafe 6 years ago. Berkey tells Serenardi that mask mandates have caused a lot of tension between customers and staff.
Everyone is so right or left or have such strong opinions on everything. In fact, that we're just trying to enforce the mandates set upon by the state. We're trying to do right by the law, for one, and also we're trying to do right by our employees and the staff because, you know, we don't get to work remotely. We have to be there every day. And a lot of us have families, a lot of us have older people we work with or people that are high at risk or children. And so we put ourselves on the line every day. So it's added a different level of stress to an already stressful job. You know, and historically it's been restaurants are always stressful. And now it's a different level of stress. And I think that's, you know, been positive and negative. You know, it's brought us closer together. I think, especially at Forchizzi Cafe, we feel like we've been through some stuff. And
I can see it on your face.
it's been very trying and it's been a difficult time, but we've come out, I think, stronger as a team, and we look at each other more as a family than we ever have.
And Abby, for you?
I think that restaurant owners are dealing with things kind of all at once. I mean, there's staff shortages, there's food shortages, there's to-go supply shortages. I mean, there is something every day, and it is exhausting. And we've got a whole team of people kind of on it for us, and I'm still exhausted by the constant, we're out of this, go find this, we're out of, nobody has kids cups, where are all the kids cups? Amazon doesn't have them. Our food, you know, like nobody has, it's just crazy. So what are the kids going to drink out of? You know, it's just constantly thinking out of the box that I almost can't blame restaurant owners, you know, for kind of losing it a little bit because it is a lot.
How are you guys doing? I mean, it is under, you know, under more ideal circumstances. And I think if you haven't worked in restaurants, and we all have, you maybe don't understand, like, really what it asks of a human being to serve other human beings day in and day out. So even under, you know, non-pandemic, non-supply chain interruption conditions, it's a tough job. And now dealing with everything that you're dealing with, and you're, you know, you guys are young, some of you have children, you know, do you ever stop and ask yourself, is this the right job for me? Is it worth it?
Constantly.
Every day. You know, I love people so, so very much. And I love food so very, very much. But that doesn't mean I don't wake up once or twice a week and I'm like, you know, I'm probably good at other stuff too. But I think, for me, this is the right industry. And I think just a lot of people have to make that decision. To be a server in today is very difficult, always has been. You're never able to be off. You always have to be personable, friendly. You can't be catty or sarcastic. You can't have a down moment. And that's difficult to do for a whole day. Nonetheless, do it for 5 days a week for a career. And restaurants are very difficult. And as people become a little bit more difficult, you know, people are starting to reconsider, is it worth it? Do I want to come in here and get yelled at, you know, once a day for something that I'm just doing as part of my job?
When I'm just trying to bring you a biscuit.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, people are a little different before they have caffeine too. But
that's true.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of staff transition into other careers?
We've seen a lot of transitions. You know, Rivian alone has taken 20% of the restaurant workforce. And there's just different opportunities and maybe less stressful opportunities out there.
Yeah, I think for a long time, restaurant jobs were viewed as kind of like just a stepping stone. Like, I wait tables because I'm trying to pay my way through college or, you know, something like that. And I think that that's fine. And it's a great job for that. I mean, if we can get somebody for a couple of years, cool. But also, you know, if people find that they enjoy the work and they enjoy doing it, okay, we want you to be here. You're great at this. You're part of the team. Then how can we incentivize you to be part of this for multiple years? You know, are you getting paid enough? Could you start a family with what you're getting paid? And just considering all of those questions, you know, when a whole industry was built on kind of, oh, they'll be here for a while and then they'll move on. It's kind of the rules haven't been set up properly. And so to do all of those things, we'd have to, you know, we sell food. We'd have to raise those prices, but we also can't price ourselves out of the market. So it's just kind of finding that balance right now and just kind of teetering back and forth. And we don't want to go out of business either because then no one would work there. So
sure.
Yeah, it's just, it's the game. It's the puzzle.
So it sounds like maybe you're in the same place that a lot of industries are in, which is kind of recentering a business model and maybe, you know, readjusting prices to reflect the true cost of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact about a restaurant is it's run by people with families and with outside interests, people who get sick, people who need a minute. And the cost of being waited on by people rather than robots is, you know, like patience and grace and money. Probably more money, right?
Yeah.
A lot of grace, too.
Yeah. Kindness goes a long way.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Pop that mask on your face and smile from beneath it.
Yes.
That was Nick Berkey and Abby Strader-Bosenberg of Fort Chissy Cafe in Normal. They spoke with Sarah Nardi for this first episode in WGLT's occasional series, Life's Work. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT Normal, made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Bloomington Normal's Public Media.